Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Provocative Thoughts.
Out of the traffic and smog of Los Angeles comes the new Provocative Thoughts and Positive Vibrations with Tommy Bahamas and friends. And now, Los Angeles, Orange County, and the world. The new Provocative Thoughts and Positive Vibrations with Tommy Bahamas and friends is on the air.
Well, good afternoon, Orlando. Good afternoon, Los Angeles. And good early actually, it's evening over there, isn't it?
Yes.
Is it evening?
It is. It's evening over there.
Usually my beautiful co-host says, evening, or something
like that.
She's off tonight. She's trying to lower the volume in my headphones, so that I don't get blasted out like I just did. You could never see that, of course. Once we go to television, you guys will. Good evening, Europe, UK, and beyond. You're listening to A Breakthrough Sunday with myself, Tommy Bahamas, and as always, the good doctor, the beautiful doctor-to-be, my best friend and my co-host, and my loving wife, is with me at the helm. Say hello to the world, LJ.
Hello, world. And I have a question.
Yes.
Where else would I be?
Is it a trick question?
No. I'm just saying I'll always be right here with you.
Well, that makes me happy, because I can't imagine doing it without you. After 4 seasons and 5 years, it would be very odd and awkward to do this show without you. But I'm glad you're with us. And I hope I never have to do it without you.
Oh, you won't.
Praise God. Listen, folks, we do have a full show for you today. We're going to do something a little out of the box. And we are going to tell our story in a way that we've never done it ever. And that's partly because I think it was the second episode we ever did of this show out of LA Talk Radio back in 2010. We actually told our story.
Mm.
And so much has happened since then that, you know, it would just be very strange to not fill you guys in and to really tell you what it's aptly called a testimony for a reason, because it's the truth. It's the story of what has happened to Lois and I to bring us to today on the wild ride. So we're going to get the preliminaries out of the way. We want to say thank you to David and Cindy Marnock for the show we did a week ago yesterday, Saturday.
Is that all it was?
That's all it was, a week ago Saturday.
Wow.
And the reason we were not on with you guys Wednesday is that it was a very, very full week. We did a real talk with David and Cindy Murdoch on Monday night. Tuesday night was the premiere of Real Talk on Wisdom Radio, which there was a technical glitch. Thursday night they did premiere. And Monday through Friday, they had the Heart for the World Raise Share-a-thon on Daystar Television, which we are very proud and honored to be affiliated with. And also from Friday until today, which just about to end, they had the winter conference at the Wisdom Center with to celebrate 49 years of ministry with Dr. Mike Murdoch, another one of our mentors, which is David's brother, his oldest brother. So we want to say thank you to each and every one of our mentors. And I'm going to get down the list in a second, but we have a new one to add to it. Dr. Mike Brown, what a tremendous testimony and sermon he preached over the last 3 days. And, of course, Pastor Anna Sweet.
Yes.
We would be a mess. And like I said, we have the whole list of mentors in just a second. Listen, the listener lines are open for you guys, 516-595-8269. The chat rooms are also open for you guys on the Internet. We welcome our faithful and loyal listeners in England, Sweden, Scotland, Iceland, Finland, the listeners we have in Israel, Pakistan, and Kazakhstan, and finally the truly dedicated listeners who are almost ready to get up on the other side of the globe. Happy day to you. Good. What do they say over there? Good day.
Good day, mate.
Good day, mate. in Thailand, New Zealand, and of course, Australia. The chat rooms are lighting up, and we welcome the listeners in the European meetings, those in AOL chat room, Spreaker, and those on Facebook. You can follow the link to Blog Talk Radio off the Facebook app, or go to Blog Talk Radio and put in TL Bethel. It'll bring up today's show. If you're participating in the chat rooms there, you can ask us at any time any questions you like. We want to apologize to those who are on the Spreaker medium. I'm going to work on the technical problem tomorrow, and we'll get that all resolved. But we do thank those in the AOL chat room, as well as the iTunes, and Go on Facebook. Like I said, this is a special mentor thank you to brother and sister David and Cindy Murdoch, David's big brother, Mike Murdoch. Happy 49th anniversary, Dr. Mike. Larry and Tiz Huck, Marcus and Joni Lamb, Pastor Anna Sweet, Joe Pernito, Jerry Savell, Don Caffeine, and Dr. Mike Brown. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being part of our story, for changing our lives. And I have no choice but to add another chapter to the upcoming novel, which is just about finished, aptly called Undenied, for only the truth is undenied. If you have any questions today, folks, we welcome questions. The only way you will ever grow, and the only way you will find your difference in this world, is to ask questions. That's the only way you'll actually grow in understanding and wisdom. We are planning to come back on Wednesdays again, folks, for the Whimsical Wednesday. So if you're a musical act and wish to be on our show, you can contact us directly at +1014. We are planning to do a show this coming week, but I don't know if it'll be a Whimsical Wednesday. We'll have to see. We do have Aileen Stewart that we've lined up, and we're planning to get her on, hopefully this coming week. And a tribute for Brother Derek Richardson. We're hoping that's going to be on with the show maybe this coming Saturday. We'll see if all the music can get lined up together and we can get all the different guests who want to give honor and tribute to Derek. We're hoping to be on by Saturday. But we will keep you informed as we go along. As I said, the new show, and I'll give you all the details a little bit, on WSDM Radio on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5:30 to 6 o'clock Central Time. On the East Coast, it's 6:30 to 7 o'clock, is Real Talk with David and Cindy Murdoch. On Monday evenings as well, and we will give you the number in just a second, David and Cindy have been running for a very long time, Real Talk. Lois and I listen in on the show. It is a show that is dedicated to the life languages, and it is something that we have learned and grown by as a couple. And I got to tell you, I love my wife, and I thank God for her presence in my life, because truly, my life has grown by her presence in my life. And I just don't know where I would actually be if it wasn't for her. If you want to listen in like we do, it's from 7 to 7:30 Central Time. So it would be 8 to 8:30 here on the Eastern Coast. You on the Western Coast, it would be, I guess that would be what, 4:30? 4 to 4:30.
Yes. It's hard to keep track of all those time zones.
No, it would be 5 to 5:30 if it's going to be 8 o'clock here. So the call-in number that you call into is 712-775-7085. And then when they're going to ask you for an access number, the access number is 867-265-POUND. That being said, one last detail and motion. This coming Saturday, David and Cindy are going to be talking at the Wisdom Center for the Love Conference. And they teach the life languages, but this coming Saturday, they are going to have a breakfast there at the Wisdom Center in Texas. And you can watch it if you're abroad on the wisdomcenter.tv. If you go to bar number 15, it'll bring you to all the different live shows. There is a button there for the Love Conference. You can click and register, and you can watch it. We will be in participation. We hope that you will too. It is not going to be talking about the life languages per se. It will be focused on the love languages. And that's another thing that Lois and I endorse and use every single day.
And if you're in that area, it's free. You can go straight to the Wisdom Center and be there live with them.
Yes,
just
but they,
make sure you register.
Thank you. You have to register ahead of time to go to it. And we absolutely encourage you guys to participate. As I said, you can contact us directly at positivevibes1014@gmail.com if you need any extra details. And we're going to talk briefly about a couple other things. Did you guys know that the new website is up? TLBethel.com is up and running. Actually, I guess it's the old website with a new face. And it's a temp skeleton scale at this point, but we are hoping that it'll be finalized shortly. All things work together for the better of the good, Always.
Always.
And there is a link there for you guys to plant a seed and donate to us to keep this show active and alive. We look at it this way. The more that you donate to us, the better the site and the better the show will be. We encourage you, if you learn or get anything from it, if you're touched by any of the guests or any of what Lois and I do as a norm, we encourage you to donate and keep the show alive. Part of the reason that the show was off the air for the time that it was because this entire show has been financed and funded by the grace of God and out of our pockets. And we are not profit. Only our books being sold and the generosity of God has kept the show on the air for when we were. We've never asked anything from our guests to donate, and we don't intend to start now. But we do ask you, if you've been touched by what we do, to sow a seed with us and try to keep us on the air. We're only halfway through season 4, and we hope to do many, many more seasons. As we continue to progress into the other night studios, television and radio, we already have a location, and I'm hoping in the next week or so I will be meeting with Mr. Claude Bowers to discuss putting us in the television studios sometime sooner than later in the Majesty Building in Altamont Springs in Florida. But that's part of the story that we will get to shortly. Do you guys know about loveisrael.com? Well, Moshe Bar, I can never enunciate this guy's name. I think it's in your notes too, if you want, Lois, if you can try. Moshe Barzi is the founder of loveisrael.com, and we do endorse supporting Israel. And this past week, the Dave Star Television Network, they did an entire day or evening of the Heart for the World, where it was all about Israel. We firmly believe that we should stand with Israel. America, over the years, since Israel's become a state or country, has supported Israel, and we think that we should support them as well. It says in the scriptures that God will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel, and we would rather be blessed than cursed. So we do support that as well. And as I said, the novel Undenied, the book, is just about completed. I have another chapter to add to it now after today and this week. It is the entire story of the wild ride, and I'm hoping I will get it finished. If you guys want to be part of it, we are looking for those to read the book and endorse it or be part of the forward for the book. Again, you can contact me directly at our email for the show, positivevibes1014@gmail.com, and just put Undenied the book in the title of the subject, and we will get it out to you. On the insistence of my wife on the next show, I will read the preface for the book again. But let's get to the listener contest. We're already...
I'm so excited.
Are you?
I am.
For the listener contest.
Yes, because we have a very important announcement.
Yes, yes. First of all, we are still offering a contest for illustrators. If you are an illustrator, you can contact us, as I said, at positivevibes1014. And we are looking for We're offering an individual who's an illustrator to illustrate one of our children's books. And we have a number of others that we are also offering. So if it goes through and you win the contest, then we will be setting up a contract with you. We do offer our listener contest, and we have for all the seasons, to create the ending for a show. It should be about a minute and 25 seconds long. It should include the name of the show, the host names as well. Namely, LJ and I, and I am very proud and honored to say that we have a winner. Mr. Sean Szymaszek has sent us over a tremendous show, ender for the show, and in just a second we're going to play it, but I want to finish up. We are planning to expand it to the Under 9 Studios shortly, and we're looking for a web designer and an app creator as well, willing to work with us and grow with the company. It's a long-term position, and flexibility is number one. Any of these things can be written to us at Positive Vibes 1014. Just put the individual title of what it is and the subject matter you're addressing, and we will get back to you. PositiveVibes1014@gmail.com, or call the studios direct at 424-281-9822. So let's deviate away for a second and play the new ending for the show. We're going to have Sean with us today, but he's with his family, and we honor that always. We love our family. And this, folks, is a new ending for Provocative Thoughts and Positive Vibrations. You can leave your comments on the group page, or you can write to us directly and tell us what you think. Here it is.
Provocative thoughts, positive vibrations. Not your average, ordinary radio station. Not your average, ordinary DJ. It's Tommy Bahamas and the love of his life, his wife LJ. Coming at you across the globe. USA. Give them a call, even if you only want to say hello. They love to have you being a guest on their radio show. Provocative thoughts, positive vibration. Provocative thoughts, positive vibrations. Provocative thoughts, positive vibrations.
And there you have it. Provocative thoughts and positive vibrations, the new ending for the show, Mr. Sean Szymaszek.
I just want to say thank you so much to Sean, because, you know, I know everybody realizes that we've been trying to get this listener contest going for a while, and it just never felt right. There was never a right fit for what the entries that we got.
True.
And Sean and Tom were reunited a few months ago after being in the Navy together 30 years ago or better.
Yep, it's true. Shipping.
And he was right on it. We were all on the same page, and I personally love it. I think it's great. He's talented. Whether he knows it or not, he's a songwriter. So,
He is. You know, I'm going to puff his head a little bit, but, you know, back in the day when Sean and I were in the service together, he and I had many talks about music, about lyrics, about double meanings to music and lyrics, different artists, John Lennon, Billy Joel, people who influenced and touched our lives, and about our individual writing, because both back in the day and still today, Sean is writing, as you hear, and so am I. And I've put down the actual instrument, if you will, and used the instrument, my fingers and my brain, to write the lyrics, and I need somebody who can take what I write and put music to it. And God bless us, Sean is tremendous, and whether he recognizes it or not, he's an extremely talented musician and songwriter. And some of the stuff that he has put out there on YouTube and such, we're honored to be have him share with us. And we hope and pray that he gives himself the credit he deserves, because he's a tremendous songwriter.
Yeah.
We love the man. We love you, Sean.
And whether he knows it or not, one of these days, it's going to be Whimsical Wednesday featuring him.
It's true. We have one.
It's coming.
I already have it lined up.
Yep.
He doesn't think he's that good, but you know what? I think he's tremendous, and we hope you do too. So we thank you, Sean, for the ending of our show. It's been a long time coming. So we said, folks, The listener lines are open for you, 516-595-8269. You can participate in the chat rooms if you're listening on the affiliates, iTunes, AOL Radio, Spreaker, or Blog Talk. We hope that the mediums are functioning fine for you folks today. You know who you are. You know where you are. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask. Do you have any participation in the chat rooms?
There is. I see people in there, but they're being shy.
They always seem to be these days.
I know. I promise not to embarrass anyone. Just ask away or say what you want.
Listen, you know, last show, we were very blessed to have David and Cindy Murdoch. But I promised somebody that I would mention them on the show, and I didn't do it. There's an evangelist out there named Diane Thomas, who has an extremely, she has a wonderful webpage. She does a blog, Diane Thomas Ministries International. You can go to www.DianeThomas, it's spelled D-I-A-N, Diane, thomasbooks.com. It's all one together on a website, http://www.DianeThomasbooks.com. Do yourself a favor and check her out. She is tremendous, and also somebody who's been touching my life, NeilVermillion.com as well. He's on Twitter. And I personally owe him tremendous for the inspiration and the blessing.
He's also on Facebook. I already liked his page, so you can go check him out.
Yep, he's on Facebook. He is on Twitter. He is on. He's got his own blog, his own website. He's on Instagram. He's all over the place. He's on Google Plus. Look him up, folks. I'm telling you, he's tremendous. So before we get into, we're going to break it down. I'm going to do part of my testimony, then Lois is going to do part of her testimony. Then we're going to share where the wild ride begins together. And I want to play a song for you guys that influenced my life when I was growing up. And I think it's only appropriate. And I now recognize why we do the show at the time we do, because the sun is destroying me at the moment. You can't see it, of course, folks. But the sun is coming straight through the window, and it is beating right on me. And we live in Florida, so when you're outside in the wintertime, it's not so bad. But when you're inside and you're through a window, I'm getting roasted.
You're getting a tan doing the show. It's great.
I thank you, my love. And I'm glad you think it's great, but it doesn't feel quite that way when I feel like an oven stuff a roaster at the moment.
Well, when we're in our new location, we're going to make sure that that's not going to be an issue no matter what time we do the show.
It is true. It is true. Listen, you know, there's been a bunch of friends of ours who we need to give some shout out to, Art and Margaret. We want them to be lifted up. Myself, I've been having spasms in my back. And our friend Perry and Tom and Sue and little Lainey and Faith and Jamie and Steve.
And Antoine.
And Antoine, that's right.
And Jerry.
And Jerry.
Our friend Jerry up in New York.
We keep you guys in thought and prayer all the time. This is a song from the Imperials from 1980, and it's a song of hope, and it's called Be Still My Soul.
Against my soul, desperate thoughts have blocked me in. Feels like I may lose control. A voice from somewhere inside me brings comfort, fills my heart with courage, and lets me know everything will be all right.
I hear him say,
still my soul know that he is God. And quietly is the Lord.
Imperials with "Be Still, My Soul." You know, I have to say something. The last 3 days has been the winter conference at the Wisdom Center, the 49th anniversary of the beginning of the ministry of Dr. Mike Murdoch, and the speakers that they've had on have been absolutely tremendous. And we were blessed to be able to be a part of it via the internet, of course, because they're in Texas and we're here. But today, Cindy Murdoch got up and sang two songs that were just wow, you know. And so we're not trying to pump, but I got to tell you, it was extremely a blessed. We felt very inspired and very blessed today. And I would be amiss if I did not say something about it. The sermon that Dr. Mike Brown gave today. Whew, that's all I can say. Wow.
It was amazing.
Yes, very, very.
Very powerful.
Okay, folks, so we're going to deviate a little bit from the norm because, you know, we have artists and we have actors and we have producers and we have stars from soap operas and actual up-and-coming musicians and debut albums and philosophers and children's authors. And we do have ministry, you know, and we've been very blessed over the last 5 years and four seasons of the show. But as I said at the beginning of the show, only once in all the years and all the seasons we've been on the air have we really told our story. And from the time that we told it till now, our story has expanded tremendously. And we would be amiss if we did not tell you guys about who we are and how we got to where we are today. And I'm hoping by the time I finish this, the sun will be out of my face and I will no longer feel like I'm a baked potato, so to speak.
Potato.
Yeah, we have potato today. We're going to have baked potato when we're done because I'm making my wife a tremendous dinner. And if you didn't know it, I firmly believe that a marriage is a two-part deal and that we honor each other every day of our lives with all kinds of different things. And if you don't know about the love languages, folks, I tremendously recommend you look it up. And also the life languages. Too. Both LJ and I have taken our life language profile, and I have never in all of my years ever seen a more detailed description of myself put to paper ever in my life to talk about the differences within me than when I did the life language profile. That being said, here's a little bit about who I am and where I came from. My dad, God bless him, came to the States from the Bahamas in the 50s. And he came from a little town in the islands of the Bahamas, an island called, one of the largest islands, Abaco. And there was a little fishing settlement called Cherokee. Now, the story is from back in the day when the colonialists ran out of America, that one of the colonial officers took a Cherokee squaw and they went to the Bahamas and they named the fishing settlement after the Cherokee. And so my dad was born and raised in Cherokee, Bahamas, which is on the island of Abaco. He came to the Lord when he was a teenager, and he decided with a bunch of friends from Abaco to go to Southeastern Bible College, which is now Southeastern University over in Lakeland, Florida. And he graduated. He became Reverend Earl Bethel back in the 50s. And because he wanted to make something more of himself and give himself something to fall back on, he went to Troy University in Troy, Alabama, to get his Bachelor's of Art in Science. It was there that he met my mom, who was at the time just out of high school, and she was in nursing school. And I can't remember the name of my aunt and uncle. They were around the corner from my grandmother and grandfather. They were family to my mom's side. And they met my father through the church, and they invited my mom and my grandmother over for lunch after service one day, and that's how my mom and dad got introduced. And yeah.
And you never hear that part of the story.
There was members of people who were involved in it, and I apologize, I can't remember the names. I've been to meet them, and I've been to their houses, and I've been blessed to say that I got to meet my roots, so to speak. And there are other people up in New York area who, again, if it wasn't for their influence and their generosity to my dad, I don't know where we would have been today. All of my father's brothers, he had five of them, still live in the Bahamas to this day. My Uncle Pat went to England, to Oxford, and became the Chancellor of Education to the Bahamas for a while. All of the other uncles, that my Uncle Steve, my Uncle Elmer, my Uncle Hubert, my Uncle Wayne, my Uncle Patrick, I said, they all live in the Bahamas to this day. Uncle Hubert is now stateside, living down in West Palm Beach, Florida. The rest of the brothers are all still living and thriving in the Bahamas itself. Back in the late 50s, after Mom and Dad got married, the Dad changed his direction in life and decided it was time to support and take care of his family. And so in the summer times, while he was in college, he had to make money to be able to support himself. So he went back through the church. There's people he met, and he came to the New York area, and he met different families. And one of the families he stayed with was the Galish family. The Galish family had one son, and I believe it was two or three daughters, Ruthie, Lily, and Dolores. And the family was extremely devout and devoted to the Lord. And through that, my father had a direction to go for work when he needed to support his family. He left Alabama and came to New York. We were always considered to be, quote, quote, the rich Bethel, because we were stateside and we were able to survive and thrive and live in America. Now, I grew up in the New York area, Westchester, and my two sisters, Debbie and Pam. And I can't speak for many people, but I was the traditional, I grew up in the church. I don't want to say anything bad about my family. I love my family very much. I was a rebel, and I was an instigator, if you will, and mm-hmm. I was defiant to the core. I did not, even though I gave my life to the Lord when I was a teenager, like my dad, I was an antagonist. In other words, I wasn't a good kid. I'm not going to lie. I had some extremely spiritual experiences when I was a very young man, between the ages of 6 and 10, and I'm not going to get into all of it today. I will tell you this. I had dreams, and I had visions, and I was into rooms with many ministers talking about these things without my parents, ironically, at a very young age, which we talked about over Christmas with them, and they said to this day they don't really know. I have memories of it, but again, I was 6, 7 years old. And some of the dreams I had, I think the reasoning was because they were reoccurring dreams. And to be quite honest, I was a little frightened by it. You know, when you're that age and you have dreams every night and they keep you awake, it's scary. It was scary. I've been blessed throughout my life. I'm not going to get too much further into that. I did a lot of things in my life when I was growing up and as a younger man that I'm not exactly proud of. And I heard a lot of people, equally I'm not proud of, but I never went out of my way to hurt people, just because of how I was and how selfish and arrogant I was. I did hurt a lot of people. I've been very blessed through my life. And praise God, the sun's going down.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, I grew up in a church called Austin Gospel Assembly in Austin, New York. And I've had a tremendous amount of guidance, spiritually and otherwise, from different ministers and mentors, if you will. You know, Marvin Fry was a tremendous mentor in my life. Dr. Gordon Anderson, Pastor Harrison, Jerry Arduini. There was a tremendous amount of people who influenced my life. A lot of people in the CAs were mentors as well and gave me guidance. And they were patient, very patient with me as I was rebellious through my youth. I joined the service as a young man. And, my life, I was blessed to say that I served this country with honor. And I love this country, and I grew up, even though I grew up in America, and I grew up in the New York area, I truly became a man when I joined the Navy. And I was stationed, I went to Chicago for training, I went to boot camp in Orlando, and I went to my first ship, the USS O'Bannon, while I was in dry dock up in Portland, Maine. And that's where I really credit myself for growing up. I had a lot of traumatic experiences happen, and I'm not going to get into any of those, and some of them I can't talk about if I wanted to.
Hmm.
My life changed. My sweetheart at the time and I broke up, and I went into a tailspin. And I was a very, very angry man for a lot of years. I just recently found out that some of the experiences I survived may have given me a little PTSD, but that's another story for another day. And I survived all of those things, learning about life, learning about things as I grew. I got out of the service in the 86, and I decided to go to school to broadcast. And I was grateful that I had the ability and the capacity and the privilege to go to school for communications in the city in New York to be a broadcaster. I did broadcast for a couple of years. And again, that's another story for another day. I'm being very cautious about what I say because I don't want to offend anybody or bring up anybody's names because a lot of things happened. I wished I could say that I was a perfect person, but I was not. I was involved in musician, a writer, a singer. There was drugs involved. There was alcohol involved. There was a lot of things that I don't do today, praise God. But at that time period of my life, it was to anesthetize what I was feeling and who I was because I was very, very angry and hurt. It doesn't mean it was an excuse, but it's the truth. And I was blessed to go back to school in the early 90s and to be a teacher. And my father had a partial stroke, and I was forced to leave and come and be and take care of my family. And the Bohemian way is to family is everything. And I'm a traditionalist when it comes to that. I believe strongly in family, honor. I was taught not to, through the Assembly of God Church, you don't believe in divorce. So I never got married until it was the right situation. After I got out of school and came back to spend time with the family to take care of my father and to be there for him, I decided to open a store, and I went into the event photography business, complete 360 from where I was at before, which was very beneficial in a lot of ways. I was affiliated with a lot of radio stations, but from a different perspective. As a business, we get to do the concerts and grand openings, giveaways, festivals, fairs. I get to sit down and meet rock stars, and it was a very, very awesome time in my life. And thus, the digital camera came out, and the industry changed, and I was forced to close my store, and I went into a serious depression. And when I tell you depression is no joke, I kid you not. It is something very serious. It affects everybody differently, and something that it should be looked at and diagnosed properly. There's different ways to go about it. I was forced into a lot of different ways. I don't really want to talk about it. I went through medication, and I was delivered. You know, I got out of it. God blessed me. And it was through the help of friends and support systems that I was able to come out of that funk. But it wasn't. It was a long period of time in my life where I was in a hole. I called it the hole, the cave. I was happy and comfortable living in a cave. I didn't want to come out. I didn't want to deal with the public. And I, as I said, you know, when I had the store open, I was dealing with 300,000 people at a clip. So when the store closed, it was easy for me to isolate myself and to stay in my own little funk. And that brings me to 2008. In 2008, I came back out of the hole long enough to work as a manager, a district manager. Actually, I guess it was more of a general manager. I ran a photography studio, the third largest on the East Coast. Again, I'm not going to mention who they were and whatever, because I don't want to offend anybody or bring up any of the things that happened at that time. Long story short, I was forced to I was removed from my position, and it changed my life. Through that incident, I found Facebook, and I was reconnected to many, many of the people who were from my past in my life. LJ, the story of LJ and I, and then I'm going to pass it over to her and let her tell you her story up to this point. My father was a builder in the New York area, and my father, before he started building houses for himself, worked as an independent contractor, and he did sheetrocking and taping, and he worked for many different formal contractors who built houses, and one of them was the name of Jerry Bacco.
Bosco.
But we called him Jerry Bosco, both Lois and I. We didn't know that until many years later. And one of the houses that my dad was working on for Jerry was in the Mount Kisco area. Little did I know that the person who owned the house that he was building it for was Lois's father. Now, I was probably maybe 6 or 7, and Lois was probably four or so. And we both have this memory of us being in this house, running through the house as children, playing together. And then, you know, it was a one-time incident. And then I remember in high school, Lois and I were introduced a second time. She came out from under the arm of a mutual friend of ours. She was leaning against the locker, and she said, "Oh, this is my friend." And Lois came out from underneath her arm, from behind her, and said hi to me. And
then, you know how weird that sounds, right?
I just know that's how it was. You came out from nowhere. I was sitting there talking to Lori, and out of nowhere, you know, you came. And then just as equally as fast, she was gone. And we did not reconnect with each other in any way, shape, or form as friends or anything else until March of 2009. It was in 2009 that, like I said, 2008, 2009, I connected to Facebook. And it was mostly because my family in the Bahamas was on Facebook, and it was an easy way for me to have contact with my family and my friends around the world without a cost to me as much in phone calls. And Facebook was just infant stages in this time, in that time period. And actually, I guess it was around for a while, but I just hadn't discovered it, and it wasn't the norm at that time. It was just becoming the norm. And Lois and I became friends officially on March the 10th,
yes,
2009.
Very good.
Yes, yes, dear. I try to remember those dates now and put them in the lockbox up top here. Sometimes I'm good, sometimes I'm not. And that brings us to when Lois and I met at the beginning of the Wild Ride. And I'm going to let her take the next 15 minutes or so and tell you about her history and the beginning of her story. And then we'll get into the rest of the show. Will be the Wild Ride. Go on.
Once upon a... No.
Once upon a time in the land of... Oh, sorry.
in the land of Mount Kisco. Actually, I was born and I lived in Brooklyn until that day that I met Tom at the Mount Kisco site.
Homestead.
And at that time, it was 1971, I think, my family was getting ready to move into that house. It was me and my brother and my mom and dad. And I don't want to be offensive to anybody, but my family was broken. And because of that, I was always looking to fill a hole, which, you know, we were, unlike Tom's father, we were brought up with, we were Jewish, but we didn't really do anything about it. We celebrated the holidays. We celebrated the Jewish holidays. We celebrated the Christian holidays. We did Christmas. We did Hanukkah. But it was more like we just had dinner, you know. It was like it was a party instead of really observing what the holiday meant.
Yeah, but you came from your lineage, from your grandfather and such.
Right. My grandfather came from the lineage of David, and this is on my paternal side. And my grandmother on my paternal side came from the lineage of Solomon. Mm-hmm. And actually, my grandfather came over to the United States, and I think it was in 1911. He was born in Greece and from a place called Yanina. And he came and he was very devout. He was a religious man. He was a very good man. And he helped build one of the only standing temples right now. It's a Greek Orthodox Jewish temple.
Uh-huh.
And it's on Broome Street. And it's the tribe of the Romanots. And it's the only one standing on the Western Hemisphere, actually.
Wow.
It's the last of them. And there was actually a documentary made that one of these days, very soon, we're going to have the person who made that film on our show. But it was called The Last Greeks on Broome Street. And just to divert a little bit, back in 2005, it was part of the Independent Film Festival where I heard about it and I went and we saw it. And it was awesome because there was a scene in there up in the Adirondacks, and I can't remember the name of the place that they all used to go.
Weissman?
It probably wasn't that, but it was something like that. And it reminded me of Dirty Dancing and the place that they were at. And they had my grandparents in there dancing.
Awesome.
And it was really, it was very cool. So anyway, back to the story. So I grew up and we didn't really practice any religion right up until the time that my brother was going to get bar mitzvahed. And the temple insisted that we need to be in Hebrew school for that to happen. So I was already 13, I think, and my brother and I started going to Hebrew school. So I learned a little bit, but we didn't practice it at home, so it didn't stick. So I was always searching for something. I didn't understand. I heard what my friends were talking about and saying. Most of them were not Jewish. So I heard things about Jesus and things that, you know, made sense to me, even though I didn't really understand or feel or know the background or where they came from. And so at a very young age, I knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And that's flustered my family because we know the Jewish faith is not, they're not on the same page with that.
But they don't recognize.
They don't recognize. Right. And to me, it made sense because I looked around me and I saw this world that we lived in that God created, and I knew that, and all the miracles of the world. And it made sense to me that there was no reason why that couldn't be the truth because it's God. And God is great, and God is the creator of all, so why not?
Right.
So moving forward a little bit, I, like Tom, was not the best child. outwardly appearances in school, I was pretty good for the most part. I didn't get into trouble that everybody knew about anyway. And I got older and I floundered and I graduated from high school with no direction. And I started college, I think like six times before I actually started college and went to school and finished. And in 1993, my father died. And I was lost. I felt the hole inside of me was even bigger than it was before. And I know, for those of you who know me, that might sound a little hypocritical because we all know that my dad and I did not have the best relationship, but I was lost. So I started looking, and I started looking for a temple and talking to rabbis. And I decided that I wanted to have a bat mitzvah, I was just turning 25, I think. I wanted to get bat mitzvah. I was going to go to Hebrew school. I was going to find something that made me feel a part of something. And I started to do that, and it didn't feel right, so I stopped. And then I would go to church, and that didn't feel right, because the only church I knew was the Catholic Church, and they were talking in Latin, and we were standing up and sitting down, and I didn't really understand what was going on, so I stopped doing that. But I kept looking. And then I guess it was right around the time that I met Tom that I was feeling very alone, and I had this big hole inside of me, and I didn't know what to do. And I started reading his philosophies, and he would write, and he would mention God, and I started thinking more and more about it. And
I don't want to get too much into
it. No, I'm not going to get too much into it, but I went to a place called Calvary Chapel with my friend Roy, and it was actually before that, but I started going to church there sometimes, and theoretically I got saved when I was there, but I didn't, again, it was something that didn't take, like I felt forced, and I was told, oh, you need to go up there and say this prayer, and I didn't really understand it. And because then I went up there and I did that, I didn't have any, like, no one to walk with me, no one to help me understand, and I guess, I don't know if this is the right terminology, but keep me in line. I didn't get it. And I wanted to get it. I wanted to feel it, but...
What year was that?
That was probably 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was. It was 2004. So I didn't get it, and I just kept floundering around, and I just kept looking for something to fill a hole. And like Tom, I was on medication for a long time for depression, and that didn't feel right to me anymore either, because I wasn't feeling like I was being my authentic self when I was on that. And I knew that I could be, I didn't know what to do anymore. So I decided to go off my medication and become who I am. And it wasn't until I did that that I actually could feel things and have a connection.
Are you talking about into the future when you were with me?
Well, yeah.
Okay,
I know I went too far.
I don't want you to get too far into that, because we're going to take a quick break, folks, and then we're going to get to the story about what happened from 2009 till now.
Sorry, folks, I got a little off track.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Folks, this is the Imperials and Any Good Time at All.
Thank you.
The Imperials and Any Good Time at All.
You know, it makes me want to get up and, like, do the hustle or something when I hear that.
The hustle?
Yeah.
Really?
It reminds me of that, yeah. Like, I can see the disco lights and stuff and the how they used to, like, do the walk. Remember that?
No.
Oh, come on.
I never did the hustle. I never did the walk. I know what you're talking about, but no.
No, they no. made us.
No, they made you. Not me. Yes, as I said, I was the rebellious one. I did not do the hustle. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, back to the story. In 2009, I was going through one of the most difficult times in my life. And through my lifetime, going, you know, from the time I was born to 2009, I was admittedly I've been very blessed with a well-rounded career, and I've been blessed to be influential and meet a lot of people. But when I reflect back now and look at my life, I realize I was really selfish and kind of arrogant and inconsiderate, and I'm not proud of that. But thankfully, I'm not that man today.
No, you're not.
And February 18th of 2009, at 2:30 in the morning, I was woken up out of a dense sleep, and I heard only one word. I heard the word go, and I didn't know what it meant, and I was half asleep, so I woke up long enough to just raise up in my bed and say yes, and I fell back to sleep. And I remembered the next morning waking up wondering what that meant, because most of us in our life, we would love to hear the voice of God or the voice of the Spirit or a voice period that said anything to us.
It's true.
The long and short of it is I started looking for the meaning of the word go. And the fact that I said yes without any questions asked was big for me, because I didn't know what it meant. My life as I knew it had been turned upside down. Everything that had been my career had been taken away from me. And I was facing the potential of not being able to do what I had known to do my entire life. Over the years of my life, I had been diagnosed with something called Crohn's disease, which was an intestinal disorder. Literally what it meant was I was being eaten alive from the inside out. My intestines were bleeding and failing. I had ulcerations, and I was forced onto numerous diets, but that didn't let that stop me. I never complained about it. I went through life. I'd always been a survivor, and I'd always been blessed to figure out a way, and by the grace of God, I was always intelligent enough to be presented with natural problems, and I troubleshooted them, and I figured out a way always. I never gave God credit for giving me the intelligence or giving me the word to tell me how to do that. I always gave Tom the old pat on the back. And after I heard the word, I started looking for meaning. And in 2009, I found it. It was the spring of 2009, and Facebook, you know, as I said, it was given to me as a tool to reconnect to my friends, my family, my loved ones around the world. And I didn't really know what that meant. All I knew was that there was a bunch of people who were on Facebook who were saying things like, I'm standing at the baggage carousel waiting for my bags. Beep, you know. I'm sitting in my backyard and I'm drinking a beer. Bang, you know. And I was saying, why? Why are people using this to tell people, you know, superfluous crap? Isn't there something more that we could be using? Isn't there something more we could be saying? Isn't there something more that we could be doing to contribute to the world? And so I started writing little quotes, little Tomisms, if you will. They were mine. They were all mine. I didn't steal them from anybody. I didn't go looking through people's philosophies. I started writing out things as simple as be you, be here, be real, be now, you know, believe. And people picked up on it. They were like, wow, you know, that's deep. And I wasn't trying to be deep. I was trying to give them something more than I'm standing on a baggage carousel somewhere. And it was through me connecting and reconnecting and connecting and connecting and connecting through people I had known around the globe, friends, family, loved ones, and them reading those little Tomisms, that they inspired me and said, you know, you should write something, a blog or something every day. And I wasn't really into it. I was doing it to get it out of my head, so to speak, to have something better to say than I'm standing at a baggage carousel. And I thought that that was worthwhile. I never gave credit where it was due for the inspiration. And as I went along, and Lois became friends with me, she was one of the people who inspired me and said, you know, this is great. This stuff is it's helping people. It's doing something for people. I'm getting something out of this. Thank you. So I started writing longer things, and Facebook changed numerous times. And I started writing again and again and again. And I eventually came up with the idea that wouldn't it be great if I would take a day at a time for a year to write something different, something new, something inspired every day for a year. And the concept took hold. I thought, you know, I will write something different and I will use Facebook as a medium to do it, to put it out there. And eventually when I get enough, I get a year's worth, I can take it, put it together with all the little comments and all the status updates and the people who liked it and all, everything they said. I can make a book out of it. It's never been done before. It still hasn't been done to this day. But there was a lot of copyright, trademark, and stuff that was hindering the process. And as I continued to become inspired, I started writing longer and bigger poetry, music, philosophy. As Lois said, there was some spiritualism in there. I started writing. At one point, I was writing 16, 17 pieces a day. Each and every piece that came out of me was new and different. You want to say something? I see your mouth. You went.
I was just going to say that he didn't even believe it in himself enough to, like, save it anywhere.
No, I never did. I thought, to be honest with you, I thought it was garbage. And I wasn't writing it for anybody. I was giving it freely to the world. It was inspired, you know, from something more than myself. And, you know, you would think I took the credit. I took credit for all of it. Wasn't right. Wasn't fair. But I did it anyway. So to give the short version of it, and so this is all in the book, folks, and this, I'm giving you the abridged version. There was a friend of mine who was equally, she had her own little philosophies and stuff, but she was a reality television entity. She was on a reality show, and she and I became friends. And there was a point in my life where I was extremely down and angry. Lois and this friend of mine picked me up, dusted me off, and made me believe in myself again. And in the fall of 2009, she was offered an opportunity to go work in radio. And she asked me my opinion of it. And I listened to the radio show. It was an inspired radio show. I thought it was great. I wrote to the owner of the radio show. I didn't know he was the owner of the entire station at that point, but he was. And we became friends. I started calling in the radio show, and I became like a big character. It was somebody who called in on a regular basis, and everybody thought I was part of the show. That being said, in the late fall of 2009, he said to me, "Why don't you come to California?" And a friend of mine from, you know, back in the Westchester area who'd moved out there offered me a place to stay. And on Christmas Day 2009, I flew across America. I had my go. I had where to go and where to go and when. And so I flew across on Christmas Day 2009. And I met with Sam. And he made me an offer that was hard to refuse. He said, you know, we love you guys and we want you. We want to give you your own radio show. And, but the only thing is you're going to have to come here. You're going to have to come to California to do the show. And at that time period, that was the go. That was the answer I was looking for. I had a direction. I had a place to go, but I had no reasoning to go. I had no show. What could I possibly talk about on the radio? Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. Now, unbeknownst to me, my LJ became my personal assistant, and she was helping me organize my thoughts, and she was putting together all of the different things. And for my birthday that year, 2009, she took some of my work and put it together and made a book out of it. And that became the take hold concept for what became the very first book, a very first volume of Ramblings and Reflections of a Bohemian American Poet. And somewhere in the summer and fall of 2009, the writing changed a bit because I figured the stuff that was coming out of me was dedicated to the one who would be my soulmate. And they became very passionate, very inspired, very loving, very kind. And so when I flew across the country, LJ was really my personal assistant and my dearest friend. She believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. When I came back from LA in January of 2010 with a direction to go, she was the person who helped me organize my book. She was the person who helped edit my book. She was the person who helped me find the publishers. We put out a tremendous amount of manuscripts to publishers. When I went back to California in February, I had my first book in hand. And when I went to the LA, when I went to the radio station in LA, in Hollywood, actually, I was able to come to the radio station with book in hand as an author. And the material that was to be a year's worth was just too much material. And so we broke it down into three volumes. And volumes two and three became the before and after of everything that was volume one. And I guess it was February to March, the book took hold. And in March, I went on the very first book tour. And in April, I got to come down and spend some time with LJ and her family over Passover. Got to see Paul McCartney. And at that point, you know, my friend who was living out there, who let me stay with him, said, look, I need a roommate. I've got a place for you to live. I've been living here for a decade, and you can come live here. LJ said to me, you're kidding. You're not going to leave me hanging, you know, in Florida. You're in New York, and you're going to go to California. Nah, man. And so... So in May of 2010, I flew back to L.A. to bring my cats, and I flew back across the country via the South route, went to Houston, and came across to Florida, and I picked up L.J. and all of her things, and we went up the coast of America. We packed up all of my things in my condominium, and we shipped it across America to the Brea area, California, to go and start the show. And we left on June 8th of 2010 to drive the 3,000 miles from New York to California. And we were not giving credit to where it belonged. We were not giving credit to God at all. We were giving credit to Tommy and Lois. And it was a fabulous dream to pick up and go to LA, to go to Hollywood, and be who we were. The very first day, we left at 3 in the afternoon and we drove through the night. Midnight, we stopped in Ohio. And the very first morning, we got up and left Ohio. And we were doing the full drive. We literally drove from Ohio all the way into Nebraska, almost to the border of Colorado.
That's crazy.
But here's the story, folks. In the noontime hour in Iowa, we got to see the face of evil. And what I mean is we came across on Route 80, and it spread out into seven lanes from two lanes, and then went three lanes and then seven lanes, and there was exits everywhere. And this guy came up on the right-hand side of us, and he looked back at us, and he smiled, and he flipped us the bird. He gave us the finger, and he jammed on the brakes, and it caused all of the cars that were driving to start spinning. Lois and I and my cat, who was under the seat sleeping, started spinning around, doing 360s across these seven lanes of highway, going 65, 70 miles an hour. And only by the grace of God and the fact that I grew up in the Northeast and knew how to drive in snow did I know how to keep this car. But it wasn't me. It really wasn't me. It was God. As we continued to spin across the road and cars were coming at us, we started to go down this embankment. and there was nothing. I mean, it was just a hill into a ravine, and we both thought we were dead. You know, we thought that, that this is the end. This is the end. The very first day, here we are on this wild ride, and it's over. And God saw fit to put a mile marker in the midst of our spinning, which just happened to catch the driver's door in the right spot, and it spun us back the other way, and we ended up right on the edge of the shoulder of the highway. And LJ and I looked at each other. We didn't say anything. We just got back on the highway, and we drove, and I don't think we actually spoke to each other for pretty close to an hour.
It's true.
And my cat came out from underneath the seat, and she tried to get up in the commotion of what was going on, and it literally had shaved, the momentum of the car shaved the hair off the side of her head, of her ear and everything. And, well, that was the first experience of the wild ride where we knew that, you know, God was with us. And we didn't give credit to God. We did not. We were grateful that we had survived it, but we did not thank God.
Yeah. I got to tell you, all I could think was, I finally broke free, and I was going to live my life, and now we're going to die in Iowa. I just couldn't even believe it. It was... Even thinking about it right now, I still can't believe it.
Well, to continue on with the story, because we're hard to believe that we're like 15 minutes and we're going to be done with the show, and that means we're going to have to continue the second part on the next show. We recollected ourselves. We spent the night in Nebraska at Igor's hotel, which was this creepy hotel that we stayed in.
Oh, boy.
And we got up the next morning, and I really don't know what I was thinking about, but I had destination in mind, and I drove from Nebraska all the way through the entire state of Colorado, through the Rocky Mountains, through Utah, through Arizona, and we made it to Vegas by the time the sun went down. And we didn't know it at the time, but we had snapped, when the car had its incident in Iowa, we had snapped three of the engine bolts, and every time we turned to the right, the entire engine would lift off the block, and the whole weight of the car would shift, and it made us feel like we were, you know, like the whole car was going to crash.
And going through the Rocky Mountains, let me tell you.
Going through the Rocky Mountains with the engine every time we, over the Colorado River, was a very hairy experience, let me tell you. And we didn't actually get that fixed for 2 years.
Yeah, something like
that. For close to 2 years. And actually, that's not true. It was the fall of 2011 that we got it fixed.
Yeah, on our
return
third
trip.
Attempt.
Yeah. But that'll have to wait for another day. The rest of the story goes, we went to L.A. We stayed in Brea, and it was an experience. We went to the radio station. We started the show. Very quickly, we had our listeners all around the world. LA Talk Radio, which was the pioneer at that time, was one of the, and it still is, one of the groundbreaking internet radio stations on the globe. And it's in every country. And we are extremely grateful to Sam Hansen for giving us the opportunity to broadcast the beginning of this show, Provocative Thoughts and Positive Vibrations, out of the LA Talk Radio studios in Hollywood. We broadcast with them until Labor Day, and I'm not going to get into all what happened because it's not important. It is part of the story. We ended up not broadcasting with them any longer, and on Labor Day of 2010, we were out in California with no direction. The show was over. As quick as it started, it was over, and we didn't know what we were going to do. And just like the night that I had woken up in the middle of the night and heard the voice say go, there was an empty lot next to the place we were living at, and these gentlemen came and were clearing the lot, and in the process of doing so, they took down a tree, and the tree knocked out the entire valley of all of the power and all of the electricity. Everything was gone. And when I tell you it was quiet, you know, you hear them say, I heard a still small voice. Well, let me tell you, it was quiet. And I heard a voice. And the voice said, why are you doing this? for anyone else but me. And I looked at Lois and I said to her, Lois, I can't believe I just heard something. And she said to me, what do you mean? And with that, the phone rang, and one of the guests who had been on our show was Reverend Don Coffeen. He had been on with us, and he said, I just heard a voice say that you guys are in need. And he came across, and he brought us out to lunch. He gave us $100. He helped feed us, gave us direction. Actually, he had told Lois and I to go to Calvary Chapel in Chino Hills, and we got really angry that he told us to do that, to be honest. But that's another part of the story that we'll talk about probably on the next one, because we did not listen. We were on our own advice. We went and talked to another person immediately. We were connected with somebody else who was involved in radio, who had in their own talk radio station they were trying to get off the ground. We talked to them, and we were going to set up to be the premier broadcasters, the premier show, talk radio show, on this station. And we were looking for investors. So in November of 2010, Lois and I flew back across America with my friend, who was a reality television star. She went her way, we went our way, and we went on a search to try to get investors to invest in our show and the station and what we were doing. Long story short, it didn't work out that way. When we came back across the country, we found out that the individual who owned the radio station was really thinking about lining his pockets, and he was going to do it in the name of God. And I'm sorry, you know, being a man of principle, there's many things in this life I will not do any longer, but one thing I will not do is disrespect God, and I will not take money in his name, no way. It just wasn't possible. So Lois and I were forced to turn away a tremendous opportunity, but we knew it wasn't right in our hearts.
Yeah.
And we were able to set up and do this show on our own. And God was right. You know, he gave us the opportunity. He said, why are you doing this for anyone else but me? And so in the fall of 2010, we started the second season of Provocative Thoughts and Positive Vibrations.
Halloween Day.
And we were forced to give up the microphones because it was the gentleman who I was just talking about. I'm leaving people's names out, and I'm giving you the bridge version for a reason, folks, because I don't want to offend anybody, and I don't want a legal suit on our hands. I will say this. The second season was tremendous. We were very blessed with many, many different artists, many different authors, many different actors, guests. We ended up moving back to Hollywood, to West Hollywood. We broadcast out of there until the summer of 2011. And it was then that we heard the voice again that said, you know, why are you doing this for anyone but me? So we literally started contacting the people who were our guests on the show. And we said, if we were to open our own radio station, would you consider broadcasting on our station with us? And every single one of them, God bless, every one of our artists and every one of our guests said they would. But the only thing was, we had to literally go to where they were to see them, to look them in the eye, to let them know that we were not shysters. We were not somebody who was going to, we were not phonies. We were real. And so we got back in our car with our cats in the summer of 2011, and we drove from Hollywood back across America to meet with each and every one of these people who were potential broadcasters and guests from our show. And I think at this point, I think we'll end it.
Yeah, it's a good place to take a break.
To take a break, because there's only 7 minutes left of the show, and I'm overwhelmed at the moment. A lot happened, and if you come back with us on the next show, which we're planning to do Wednesday, this coming Wednesday at 5 o'clock, we'll go back to the normal time. I will say this. I give all the glory to God. I know this is a little different than what our normal show is, and we still are Provocative Thoughts and Positive Vibrations, and we want you guys to think about stuff. But we would be amiss if we did not take the opportunity to tell you guys how we got here, who we are, and what, you know, what we are about. So I'm going to get into the announcements one more time, and then I'm going to give you guys a chance to interact with us. As I said, we do have contests for you guys. We have the illustration contest, which gives you the opportunity to illustrate some of the children's books that I've written. You can contact me and put illustrators in the subject line. Positive Vibes 1014 at gmail.com is the way to get to me with that. We do have the listener contest, but as of right now, the listener contest is we have a winner.
We have a winner. I've been waiting to say that for so long.
And at the end of the show, we will play the winning entry by Mr. Sean Shmashek, a shipmate of mine and a friend and a writer extraordinaire. And we do have the final contest, which is to we're looking for apps, app creators, and website designers to work with us because we own the domain for tlbethel.com, which is up and active. And if you guys want to keep us on the air and you like what you're hearing today, please, please donate a seed and keep us on the air. We do this out of the generosity of our hearts. There's been many people who have helped us along the way, which we intend to give credit to as we move along. But most of all, we want to give credit to God, and we want to say thank you to you, the listeners who listen to us around the world faithfully. And I'm at a loss. Okay, on Tuesday, tomorrow night, first of all, tomorrow night, our friends and mentors, David and Cindy Murdoch, will be on phone conference, on Real Talk by phone from 7 to 7.30 Central Time, which means on the East Coast, it would be 8 to 8.30. On the West Coast, it would be 5 to 5.30. You can call in the number, 712-775-7085, and it's going to ask you for an access code. Put in 867-265 in the pound sign, and you can listen in. Now, David and Cindy are talking about Real Talk is life languages, and they're talking about real subject matters that inspire, that deal with men and women. They are consultants and educators in communication and relationships, empowering others to communicate effectively and build healthy relationships in their marriages, families, and in the workplace. They are certified trainers of the life languages, and they deal with the Kendall life language profile, and we've taken it, and we are grateful that we have. On Tuesday night and Thursday night, David and Cindy also are on WSDM Radio, which is Wisdom Radio. Their new show, which is equally Real Talk, will be on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 5:30 to 6 p.m. Central Time. It will be 6:30 to 7 o'clock on the East Coast. And on the West Coast, it would be 3:30 to 4 o'clock.
To 4 o'clock.
In California.
Yes, definitely.
And this coming Saturday is the Life Language Breakfast at the Wisdom Center. David and Cindy Murdoch are the speakers there. You can go to wisdomcenter.tv. Click on button 15. You can get the information and click on the live link to watch it live. Or if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you can go to the actual Wisdom Center. We encourage it. Our mentor is Dr. Mike Murdoch, who is the founder of the Wisdom Center and is David's big brother. And on the 13th of March at 7 p.m., David will be speaking in Wheeling, West Virginia at the men's conference there as well. You can see Cindy on Real Talk, on Marcus and Joni Monday through Friday with the Daystar Singers. And she's also on with Jody Lamb at Table Talk on the Daystar Network. We thank Marcus and Joni tremendously for this week, for the Heart for the World. If you haven't seen it, it's still running till tomorrow. You can pledge there. And we thank you folks for listening in today. We feel very grateful to have each and every one of you as our supporters and our listeners around the globe. We love you and we thank you. And as I said, this is Mr. Sean Shmashek, with the ending for Provocative Thoughts and Positive Vibrations. And Lois and I will be back with you guys on Wednesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Do yourself a favor. If you want to check out David and Cindy's website, it's RU, and that's literally the letter RU, livinglife.com. And
We'll post it
on the group page on Facebook as soon as we get off the air. We are very grateful to David and Cindy for being our mentors and our friends, and we think that you guys can grow from them as well. And this is it, folks. We love you very much. God bless you folks today. And LJ and I say, as we do at the end of every single show,
take it easy.
Provocative thoughts, positive vibrations. Not your average, ordinary radio station. Not your average, ordinary DJ. It's Tommy Bahamas and the love of his life, his wife LJ. Coming at you across the globe. USA. Give them a call, even if you only want to say hello. They'd love to have you being a guest on their radio show. Provocative thoughts, positive vibration. Provocative thoughts, positive vibrations. Provocative thoughts, positive vibrations.